Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the house of the Lord. We're glad that you're here. It's a beautiful day, and we have a chance to worship Him and to praise His name. Before we do so, we want to check on any business or any announcements we need to make for the congregation.
I have just a couple. I would like to know by Tuesday if there's any ladies that want to go to the Aspire Ladies event. It's May 13th. It's on a Friday the 13th. It's from 7 to 10. It's in Greenville Church outside of Hagerstown. It's a three-hour event. There'll be speakers. There'll be music. And there'll be a Christian comedian there. It's all to inspire you and lift you. So anybody that would like to go, please see me, because I'm going to order tickets this week. And I would like to have a short ladies' aid meeting after church. Only take a few minutes. When I say a few minutes, only a few minutes to say yay or nay. Okay?
And you'll be in the Sunday school room?
Yeah.
Okay. Any others? Bob?
Of course, on Tuesday night, we had a council meeting here, and it's a little bit heartbreaking when we only have 8 participants come out for the council meeting. When it takes a big handful and a lot of work to keep this church up and running, and we would appreciate so much more for people to come out and share in our experience. And thank goodness we didn't have a lot of business to conduct or anything this time around, but you know, there are positions that open up every year that need attendance or attention. So I would just like to encourage each and every one of you to take a part in that meeting, because it is survival. It's like a crutch to a weakened body to get along on. And you know, we don't want to drift back to one leg. We want to stay strong. So we just have your cooperation in our meetings and help us fulfill what needs to be worked out. We'd love to have you. No, we just have it twice a year.
Okay.
Just twice a year. And also, with the council meeting, those that weren't here and you'd like to have a copy of the treasurer's reports, they're on the back bench back here, so avail yourselves to what's left in there. Okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob. Other announcements? Well, this, yes, Dan? Praise God. Glad that you could be here today.
Pastor Tracy, Ricky wanted me to read this to you. It's a thank you card for the brothers and sister and Pastor Tracy. Thank you for the cards, food, phone calls, and the gift card from the church. And thank you all for your prayers and all your kind words at the funeral. And thanks to my family for their help and kind words. Love and God bless. Rick.
Praise God. Thank you. We're also grateful for, you've seen there, the total here for the bake sale was almost $400. Praise God for that. And this Wednesday is the beginning of Lent. It's Ash Wednesday. And one of the things that Christians have done is to give up something. And so we encourage you to think about that. It could be maybe a favorite candy, or it could be a meal, or it could be giving up TV or whatever it might be, but I encourage you to think about fasting something during the course of Lent. Without any other announcements, let us begin our worship. We'll do so with this prelude. Uncle Rose. Call to worship comes from 92. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. It shall be fresh and flourishing. Declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. May God add blessing to the reading of his word. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, it's with joy in our hearts that we come into your house this day. Thank you, Lord, for those that have come out here, and we ask, Lord, your Holy Spirit indeed would be present. God, help us to worship you in spirit and truth. And we pray, Lord, you would touch our hearts and meet the needs and our community and our families. And we ask, Lord, you would bless. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join me in standing, and we'll share together in hymn number
110.
Thank you. Time to pray together as a body of believers and to hear what's on your heart today. So, what would you like to share with the congregation?
Are we doing toys and concerns?
Yes.
This Betty Moser, which is Alice's aunt, third Friday evening was taken to the hospital with a stroke. And she's in serious. They're going to have to watch her for a couple. So she definitely needs that prayer.
Where's your
aunt
Betty?
Very sweet lady. She's 87 years old.
Thank you. Others?
Continue Ricky on the prayer list and my brother Alan. And Debbie's that's coming up.
Thank you. Yes, Beth?
I just want to thank everyone for keeping your prayers and thoughts and hearts. And keeping in prayers. Thank you.
Tracy, you don't need to write all these down, but I just want the good Lord to hear them. But it's just my list. First off, we have a friend that, I'm just mentioning names and not really what's the trouble. Angie Frenick from Finneybrook, Gary Roberts, Steve Wolf, Wilma Stover, Wanda O'Brien, Danny and Kathy and Doris back here, Jerry in Hood Recovery, Larry, my son also, myself, Ralph and Deb, Frank and Pat, Rick and Alan Baker, the church family and its minister, you, Tracy, and your family. Karen Elsie has to have some surgery done. And this Ukraine situation and the many families that are going to hurt and displaced. Many things don't happen, but it does. And then we're just happy to have Teresa here today to play for us, and that's a blessing. And also just remember the prayer book in the back. Oftentimes we forget and neglect those names. And of course our government and its leadership desperately needs an awakening in our prayers to see what can be done there. Thank you.
Thank you. Right.
And we want to include brother too, because he's going to be going in for the surgery. His hip has been a week. He's not a whole list, but he's covered pretty much everybody that I know of. And thank you, Lord. We do have some in our community that needs to pray our prayers as well.
We're going to pray specifically here for Bob in just a minute. He's asked for anointing.
And we certainly want to remember the issue over there in Ukraine, Russia. We pray, Father, that you will somehow be able to bring this to an end quickly and peacefully. Lord, is our prayer.
Thank you. Deb?
I have a dear friend. She was a former co-worker, and she's still a dear friend. Her name is Angie. Just pray for her Tuesday. She has a major surgery, so just lift her up in prayer. And I continue to challenge each of you on your daily prayer to hold this book in your hand and pray over our membership. Okay? Pray that the families would come out of their deep sleep and see that at this time, in the way the country is right now, we need more now than ever to be in God's house and worship together and give him the honor and praise. And like, I want to piggyback off of what Bob said, it breaks my heart when we see there's so many out there in the world that don't know him. They think they know him, but they don't have that personal relationship. And we as brothers and sisters and his children, we need to reach out to them. So let's pray over this book. And maybe next council meeting we'll see double numbers. But we have to come to him and ask him first. You know, we have to let him know what is really truly on our hearts.
I think I saw another hand. Anyone else? I just wanted to add to the Ukraine situation to bring it a little bit closer home for us. There was a congregation in Pennsylvania, the Pleasant Hill congregation, had an outreach ministry years ago, and out of that a group of brethren formed a congregation of 30 to 35 people, and they're in a city between the capital and Russia, and so they were asking for prayers for that congregation. There's a church in Kansas that has had weekly contacts with the pastor there, and the last phone call he received, the pastor and his wife and children and family were going to be in your basement, and so they were asking for the congregations to pray. So we have a direct connection with at least one group of brethren in the Ukraine, and so pray that things would go well there. And there's a massive refugee situation in Poland. Many Ukrainians are fleeing the country, and so lots of need and aid requested, and so please keep these folks in your prayers. Hopefully there'll be a resolution soon. Any others?
Pastor Tracy, one more thing. I just want us to pray a blessing over those that have volunteered to help with the church cleaning things. That is such a blessing, and may the Lord bless them for doing that service.
Yes, so if you there's two spots open on the cleaning sheet there, so if you'd like to, you can sign up after church today. Bob's asked that we have an anointing for him, and so I'm going to ask Bob to come forward at this time, and if we could get a couple other deacons to come forward, and if anyone else would like to be anointed, we would encourage you to come forward, and we'll pray for you as well. So would you join me in prayer for God's blessing? We're going to do Bob first, and then Steve. Okay. Let's pray for Brother Bob. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us, and we ask, Lord, we call out to you in the name of Jesus that you might touch each one of these individuals, Lord, and meet their needs, Father. And so we just pray that you would reduce pain, and we pray, Lord, you would guide the doctors and the nurses as they work with them. We pray for successful surgeries. We pray for healing and wholeness. The doctor can cut, but only you can bring the healing, Lord. And so we just ask, Father, might move in a mighty way, and we place each of these individuals in your hands, Father, and we ask for your outcome. And so we pray for your will to be done, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And now, as a congregation, let's bow for a prayer and invite you to kneel, and or you may remain seated with your head bowed, and we'll finish with the Lord's Prayer. Let's come to God in prayer. Oh God, thank you, God. You are a good Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, that you're concerned about the things that concern us. We thank you, Father, for your many blessings to us. Lord, we would be here all morning if we count the blessings for health, for life, for hope and family and friends, for food and for warmth and shelter, for homes. God, we give you thanks. We thank you, Lord, for your many ways that you show yourself strong. And we pray, Lord, you would move in a mighty way. And each of the names have been lifted up here this morning, especially we ask you to be with Aunt Betty. And we pray, Lord, for your hand of comfort to be on Rick. We ask, Lord, that you would just help Steve with the appointment tomorrow. And we pray for those that have had surgery. Thank you for bringing Jerry through his knee surgery. Now we ask that you would continue to help him to be strong. Lord, we pray for Karen as she's anticipating surgery. Be with those, Lord, that are continuing to recover, Angie and others, Lord. We pray for our church and for all the church families in this directory. Lord, would you show yourself strong in each one, each life. And we pray, Father, that they, all that might come to know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray for the new Youth for Christ director here in Frederick County, Craig Winsenden. And we ask your blessings on Youth for Christ and Young Life as they reach out to our young people in our schools. We pray, Lord, for names that are on our lists and those that have been on our list for some time, for Bob's list and Jerry's list and Deb's list and Church's list, our prayer list in the back, Lord, for each one. Lord, move in a mighty way. We pray for our government, Lord. We ask for the State of the Union address comes this week, Lord, that there would be no violence. We pray, Lord, for direction and guidance. We pray, Father, for what's happening in our world. And Ukraine is in our forefront, put our attention right now. But, Lord, there are other places also need in your hand. And so we pray, Lord, as brethren pray for peace. We pray for a resolution, Lord. We pray for an end to hostilities, not only in Ukraine, but also in other areas, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the Red Cross. We thank you for the groups of people that come together and are sending aid. We pray, Lord, these endeavors, these efforts would be successful and be able to help many people. We pray for a hand of comfort upon the families of lost loved ones in Ukraine. I think over 200 have died so far. We pray, Lord, you keep your people safe, not just this little group of brethren that we are aware of, but also your people, Lord. There's over 200,000 Jews in Ukraine. So, Lord, we pray you protect your church, protect your people, and we pray, Lord, for the outcome to be favorable for the people in Ukraine. God, there's so much going on in our world. But thank you, Lord, for the decrease in positivity rate here in Frederick County. And we ask, Lord, you would continue to move mightily in the war against this pandemic. Lord, we ask your blessings. Father, teach us to pray as Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, since we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now we'll have another hymn, and it is number
144.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke. I'll be reading the last portion of that scripture, chapter 6. And he, Jesus, spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not see the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank that from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from the thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the floods arose and streamed beat vehemently against that house, could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently. And immediately it fell, and the root of that house was great. Would you pray for me, please? Lord, we pause in your presence to ask that the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts and our minds indeed would be acceptable now in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. Amen. What or who is the foundation of your life? What or who is the foundation of your life? When the storms come, how will you be able to stand? Proverbs 10:25 says, when the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. In 2 Timothy, we read these words, a solid foundation of God stands. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. A few years ago, a windstorm came through Frederick and blew down a very huge tree not too far from our neighborhood. There's several great big trees out. I probably can't put my arm around the trunk somewhere. They're like that big. And one of those trees came down. And not only did it come down, but the whole root system came up. And so they were massive trees. And it was very interesting, I think, to see not just what was there, but what was hidden, what was underneath. Tremendous root systems on some of these trees. And we often forget what is under the ground. We often forget what holds them up. I'm also interested in architecture, and so when I drive into the city, I'm also marvel at the skyscape, you know, the tall structures that are there, the skyscrapers and the bridges, and it's a marvel, I think, of what man can build and what we can do. Did you know that the tallest skyscrapers not just are tall, they also have a very significant foundation in order to keep them up. And in fact, I have a picture here of the six tallest skyscrapers in the world. And the tallest one is in Dubai. It's over 2,000 feet tall. But it has underneath the ground 164 feet of pylons. And 192 of those pylons, each of those are 5 feet in diameter. And it has a 12-foot thick concrete mat in order to build that building on. The next one is in Shanghai, China. It's a little over 2,000 feet as tall as well. and it has 980 foundation piled. It has a 3-foot diameter, each of those, and it has a 20-foot thick reinforced concrete mat underneath that building. The World Trade Center in New York City is 1776 is for the year that the country was founded, 1776. That building in New York has rock anchors that extend 80 feet into the bedrock. The underground supports the buildings that are existing there for the commuter trains to come in. The next highest building is in Taiwan. There's also one in Chicago, and I was surprised to learn there was one in Los Angeles, 1,100 feet tall. I would think with all the earthquakes out there, that would be a dangerous place to build a skyscraper, but it has an 18-foot thick concrete mat. And the unique thing about it is that it won Guinness's World Book of Records for the largest continuous concrete pouring in history. So I imagine it has quite a foundation. You know, foundations are important. In our scripture for today, Jesus is sharing here two parables. And I want us to focus on the second one in particular, the one about foundations. We find this parable also in Matthew 7. And there in Matthew 7, it's a little bit more well-known is because it's a house built on the rock and house built on the sand. The sand being the Wadi. Wadi is a dry riverbed in Israel. And so you go out in the desert and you see these areas where, you know, there's no water. Then a storm will come. And all of a sudden, there's a river coming down through the desert. They're called wadis. And these are areas that you don't want to build in because of the sudden river that will emerge. But the one here in Luke is adapted more to the non-Palestinian readers. And it talks about a good builder and a bad builder. And the good builder builds a foundation first, and the other one does not. So it has a really strong construction to it. Webster defines the word foundation as the solid base, as the lowest course for a wall or a building, and these are usually underground, not seen. We often focus on what's seen, what's above the ground, and forget what's above the ground or below the ground. Foundation can refer to an underlying principle, and it can also have reference to the basis for truthfulness. Foundations are seen throughout the Bible. In Psalms 11:3, it says, "If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" If the foundations are destroyed, what are we supposed to do? On the farm, my stepdad got in his head that we needed some more storage grain bins for corn. That way we could mix our own feeds, and so we built some bins. And so Dad poured a very large foundation on the course of the driveway going up to the barn bridge. And I remember one summer we took a long time in preparing that foundation. First Dad put the wood markers up and kind of measured out how big he wanted it, and then as we were picking rock that summer, we brought those rocks in, and load after load, we dumped into there. And I remember, you know, moving them around a little bit, tampering them down, and then once we got the foundation pretty well filled with rock, we got a couple of truckloads of gravel and poured that in, and then all made sure all the seams and all the crevices were filled, and then finally, there was a day for the concrete truck to come. Concrete truck came, poured yard after yard into that form, and Dad smoothed it all off, and everything was good as gold. And then we got the bins, put the bins up, and then fall came, and we began to fill them. And you can imagine a bin holding thousands of bushels of grain. It's a lot of weight. First year was fine. Second year was fine. Third year, we noticed that a crack developed in one of the foundations. We could still use the bin. Wasn't a problem, but right across the center of the concrete was a crack. after all of her preparation and hard work, the foundation still wasn't quite good enough. God is a master builder. He is the creator. He is the great architect. And the psalm says that you who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. God is able to design things in a tremendous way. And in fact, when Job began to complain and question God about why all this suffering was happening to him, remember God spoke to him out of the whirlwind. And here's God's first question to Job. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? God indicated that he laid the foundations. In Hebrews it says, you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will grow old like garments, like clothes. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. In the same way that God is able to lay foundations, he also builds lives. And we're told in Corinthians 3, for you are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because I will reveal by fire, and the fire will test each one's work, of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. For he himself will be saved, yet as though through fire. And then in Ephesians we read these words. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fit together grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So the scriptures speak about foundations in lots of different ways. Foundation of the world, foundation of buildings, foundation of God's people, foundations of faith. Who or what is the foundation of your life? You know, in education, we talk about foundations, the three R's, writing, reading, and arithmetic. These are important. In beauty, it's important to have a foundation in order to put makeup on. In faith, the foundation is Jesus Christ. The foundation is God's Word. Important themes like creation, redemption, the cross. I like how a friend has drawn this scripture from Ephesians. It's Ephesians 2:2. We're built upon a foundation. The apostles and the prophets built upon an important foundation, Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. And we're being built up as we share together the things of God. And so that's why I think church is so important. We come together, encourage one another, build each other up. You know, there's so many things in the world that will tear us down during the week, but Sunday we need to come together and be built up, be built in, with the Word of God being built into us. We share together the things of God. And in the same token, then, we need to go on to maturity, not just to focus on the things that we've always shared about, but go on deeper into the things of faith. Hebrews 6 says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and laying on hand of resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. These are all important themes, but we should move on into deeper areas of understanding God's Word. So what is foundational? What is foundational to our faith? Of course, Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, the cross, the redemption, our salvation. These are important themes, but also themes of that are important in the Bible is that of creation. Now, I wanted to share part of an article from Henry Morris. This is dated back in 1983, but it's, I think it's still very prevalent today because so many of our people, we wonder why is things going the way they're going, and partly it's because we've allowed certain things to be taught in school. We've kicked out Bible, we've kicked out prayer, but we have allowed other things to come in. So our society basically, the way people think today is basically revolving around evolution. And so Henry Morris was known as the father of the creation movement. And here's some, I think, very poignant words that he wrote back then. He said, "It's high time that people in general, and Bible-believing Christians in particular, recognize the foundational significance of special creation. Creation is not merely a religious doctrine of only perpetual importance, as many people, even many evangelical Christians, seem to assume. Rather, it is the basis of all true science, of all true Marianism, of all true Christianity. Evolutionism, on the other hand, is actually a pseudoscience masquerading as science. As such, it has been acclaimed as a scientific foundation of atheism, humanism, communism, fascism, imperialism, racism, laissez-faire, papalism, and a variety of cult, ethnic, and so-called liberal religions by the respective founders and advocates of these systems. The creation-evolution issue is, in a very real sense, the most fundamental issue of all." And then he goes on and talks about the fundamentals of science and of America and of true religion and faith. And then he talks a little bit about the gospel, and I want to share these concluding words. "Many Christians who either ignore or compromise the biblical doctrine of creation have urged creationists just to preach the gospel, not creation. But this is impossible because the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is squarely founded on creation. The whole wonderful threefold work of Christ is outlined in Colossians 1 and is identified as the gospel in Colossians 1:23. The very last reference to the gospel in the Bible is Revelation 14:6-7, and it calls it the everlasting gospel. Thus it could never have been any different. And its message is to worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the foundations of the waters. While it is surely true that the central focus of the gospel is the substitutionary atonement and victorious bodily resurrection of Christ, found in 1 Corinthians 15, it also includes his coming kingdom and his great creation. Any other gospel is another gospel, and it's not the true gospel. Without the creation, a supposed gospel would have no foundation. Without the promised consummation, it offers no hope. Without the cross and the empty tomb, it has no saving power. But when we preach the true gospel with the complete person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, as they really are, we build on a sure foundation, can promise a blessed hope, and have available all power in heaven and earth through Christ who is in all his fullness, is with us even to the end of the world." And so we want to think about foundations and the importance of foundations and what our life and our ministry is built upon. You know, foundations are significant all through the scriptures and even in the end. And Dr. Jay Meyer talked about looking to the future and what we have waiting for us. And in Revelation 21, it says this. It says, "Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations," talking about the New Jerusalem. and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the lands. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, and so on. Now, I don't know about you, but I can hardly imagine such a thing. Can you imagine this huge 12 by 12 mile square coming down out of heaven, the heavenly city, and seeing the foundation of that city? Foundations are important. When I was in Jerusalem, we had toured the Western Wall. Now, some of you may refer to it as the Welly Wall because of the prayers that go up there. But, you know, I knew that and I was familiar with that, but what I wasn't familiar with or was amazed, shocked at, was the Western Wall tunnels. And so along the mount of the temple, they have dug down underneath, and you can walk the length of the temple mount. And along that narrow passageway are these huge, massive boulders, rocks, hewn out squares. How in the world they ever got such things together is just amazing to me. But one of those is called the Mammoth, and it is the size of this sanctuary, solid rock. And those are put together side by side just to form the foundation of the Temple Mount. That is just astounding, amazing to me. And if God's people would put so much effort into building the temple and to make sure that the foundation was secure, can you imagine what the holy city is going to look like that God is building? Oftentimes, when people pass away, we think, well, you know, Jesus is preparing a room for us, right? That's what we read in John. He's preparing a room for us, and he's getting our mansion ready. But for 2,000 years, he's been working on that. I suspect he's been working on this foundation. He's been working on this holy city. What a wonderful sight that will be when we see the new Jerusalem coming. In conclusion, thinking about this parable of Jesus, the foundations, Liberty Commentary says, the meaning of this short parable saying about the house built on the rock and that built on the sand concerns the foundations of one's life. Only those who actually do Christ's will have the surest foundation of Christ beneath them. All other ways, roots, and efforts will end in destruction. You know, our culture encourages us to only be concerned about what impresses others. What impresses us is the superstructure, what we can see above the ground. And we often so easily forget what's under the ground. The foundation is needed. Is it any wonder why our culture or our life, way of life, is being challenged today? In politics, government, in education, so many of the things that we know are being challenged, right down to the core. And so we need a strong foundation. I think the point of Jesus' parable here is it's not just hearing and knowing, but also doing. James 1 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And so Jesus asks here in this parable about foundations, encourages us to think about foundations. The foundation of a life that endures is not only knowing, but doing the will of God that's manifest in Jesus Christ. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? I was pleasantly pleased, surprised to find that this year's National Youth Conference, as you know, in the Church of Brethren, we have a National Youth Conference every 4 years, and about 3,000 of our youth have been going to this in Colorado. And this year's theme is foundational. Foundational. I hope that our youth are challenged with the understanding of what's important. What's important to faith? What is the keys? What do we build on? A firm foundation is built on Jesus Christ. It's built on God's Word, the Bible. You know, this church is built on a rocky ridge. And it's built with stones from the field around here. And it is stored as stand the test of time. You have done well to care for this building. And it is a impressive symbol in our community of what's foundational, what's important. For 169 years now, the ministry has gone on from here. Built on the Bible, your forefathers and foremothers believed in Jesus. They believed the simple gospel. And they have tried to share that gospel with those around them. Christianity was built on a firm foundation. Remember Jesus said to Peter, "You're the rock. On you I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Rocks are firm and hard. I picked up this rock many years ago at camp, and I wrote on it, "He is the rock." I have this on my dresser. Remind me of those good days when we were taught foundational truths in God's creation. You know, it's important that we hold on to these truths. Faith and salvation come from God's Word and the preaching and the hearing of it. And we are to build our truths on Christ and the themes of the Bible. And the main theme, the first theme, is that of creation. I believe we're in trouble today because so many do not hold this truth any longer. They have fallen to evolution, the themes of evolution. When the flood comes in, when the earthquakes shake the very foundations of our society, our family, our culture, where will we stand? What will be that which is going to be firm? We're living in a time when the very foundations of our society are being shaken. Our economy, we can't rely on our economy. Sister was talking here this morning about the technology. You know, we can't rely on our electricity. Our power grids, they're all vulnerable to attack, cyber attacks. What will happen if we can't use our cell phones? People will not want to know what to do. What will happen? What will happen if they can't go to the grocery store and get food? They don't guard anymore. We are very vulnerable in our country. Our government is vulnerable. Our churches, very lives are being shaken down to the core. This shaking is because of the storms that are coming. We've seen them physically, we've seen them politically, we've seen them economically. Inflation now is the highest in 40 years. What will we stand on? Anything that's really going to last, anything that's really going to be for sure, is Jesus. It's God's Word. Here's how the hymnist put it. How firm a foundation. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow will not overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. The soul that on Jesus still leans for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. what or who is the foundation of your life? I hope that it is Jesus Christ, our Lord. I hope that you're standing on the solid rock, the rock that will last forever. Would you pray with me, please? Rock of ages, God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, we cry out to you today. We recognize that you really are our only source of true help. And so, Lord, forgive us for building lives that are without a firm foundation. Some building lives on the sand. Let us not be like the blind leading the blind. Help us, Lord, to see clearly, to point others in the direction of Jesus. May we not only see and hear your words, but do them. So I pray, Lord, that you would let our lives be built firmly on a solid foundation, the rock, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Help us, Lord, to be ever sure of your word. Your word is eternal. It will not return void. So, Lord, remind us again of the great importance of creation and the cross. Cause us to bear much fruit for the keeper of God. And I pray, Lord, that this ministry here on this rocky ridge would continue until Jesus returns. And we pray this in his name. Amen. I invite you to stand with me as we close our service under hymn number
487.
Bless you, keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Have a good week.